Jesus love is very wonderful. Jesus love is very wonderful. Jesus love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high I can't get over it. So low I can't get under it. So wide can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, can't get over it. So low, can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it.
Hello, and I'm delighted you could join us for this holy half hour here on 3TFM, your local radio station. I'm your host, the Reverend Alec Noble, Minister of Saltcoats North Parish Church. Now, here's a question for you. What is the one thing that we shall be doing in heaven which we do here and now on earth? Because we won't always be walking the dog or washing the car, or should that be washing the dog and walking the car? Anyway, the one thing that we'll be doing for all eternity in heaven that we already do on earth is to spend quality time with God and with our loved ones, communing together, giving each other tender, loving care, time of day, attention, speaking to each other, listening to each other, showing each other that we are valued. The word worship comes from an old English word meaning to ascribe worth to. When you share time and space with someone, when you share your feelings and thoughts with them, and generally share life together with them, that is communing together. That is what communion in church is all about. And that's our theme for tonight. The sacrament of the Lord's Supper, otherwise known as communion, the breaking of bread, the Eucharist, or the Mass, whatever it's called, it's this whole experience of being with God's people and being with God, having a family meal together.
Prepared a feast of good things for all who will accept his invitation. Come on, the feast is ready.
Come and revel.
Our modern Lord's Suppers go all the way back 2,000 years to the Last Supper of Jesus and his disciples the night before he was crucified. So the Last Supper was actually the First Supper, if you think about it. There are four accounts of it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and in 1 Corinthians. But here's another account from the Glasgow Bible from Jamie Stewart.
Late that night, Jesus sat down to eat with the 12 apostles. Jesus took the bread and said a prayer of thanks. He broke the loaf and shared it round the disciples, saying, "This is my body that will be given up for you all." Then he took a cup of wine and handed it round, saying, "And this is my lifeblood that will be shed by me to forgive your sins. But mark this, I'll drink nae mair wine until I drink it fresh in the kingdom of God."
Jesus expressly commanded us to reenact, to represent that action. So ever since, for 2,000 years, we have conducted communions, Last Suppers, Masses, Eucharists, whatever you call them. So do this in memory of me, said Jesus. Here's the St. Mary's guitar group from Saltcoats singing Eat This Bread. It's amazing to think that for 2,000 years, all across the world, down all the centuries, in all sorts of settings, people have broken bread together with Jesus in the midst and us loving one another in him. I think of sometimes seeing a communion in a great big cathedral or outdoors or seeing it when I do home communion with one elderly person. In the midst of all the diversity, we'll have to remember there's only one God, one Lord, one Church, one Supper. We may come from different geography, history, and theology and cultures, but there's a unity together in Christ. It's His sacrament, not ours. It doesn't belong to one branch of the Church. For all our diversity, we're one flock of the one Shepherd. That's the beauty of the communion. From the one loaf, we all share. From the one bottle of wine, we all drink. We don't own the supper. We are privileged to be invited to come as guests. Jesus is the host. The qualification for entry to come is the willingness to subsume our pride and relinquish our control and let Jesus be our God.
As you look around you, you will see people from different nations and different cultures and backgrounds. And yet we've all come together for one purpose, and that is to worship. And as we worship together, our differences seem to disappear, and we really do become one body in Christ.
Song will sound like in Zulu.
Oh, that's it, guys.
No masiba ningi, sing zimbabunye, sing zimbabunye to Christ.
Well, come on, let's join them. This is how that scripture sounds in Afrikaans.
One thing in the Lord.
guys, come and sing it for us.
We would like to teach you to sing this song in Spanish. We come from Latin American countries, Mexico, Colombia, and Peru. We'd love for all of you in Spanish.
Aún siendo mucho, somos en Cristo un solo cuerpo de amor. Aún siendo muchos, somos en Cristo un solo cuerpo de amor.
Yes, come on, Les.
Aún siendo muchos,
good for Jesus.
Somos en Cristo un solo cuerpo de amor. Aún siendo muchos, somos en Cristo un solo cuerpo de amor.
Well, let's unite our hearts.
Some people take the humble unworthiness too far and they refuse even to take part in the Lord's Supper. They say they don't feel good enough to take part, but they completely miss the point. It's not about being good enough. No one is. We're all sinners, prodigal sons, enemies of God, abusers of His grace. The church is not a home for saints, it's a hospital for sinners. One minister said to a reluctant member, "Tack it, woman, it's for sinners." The feast with the fatted calf is for prodigal sons. The rejoicing in heaven is precisely because lost sheep have been found and gathered in. Saints need not apply for this meal. So come as you are, as St. Mary's Guitar Group sings here.
Come as you are, that's how I want you. Come as you are, feel right at home. Close to my heart, loved and forgiven. Come as you are, why stand alone? No need to fear, love has no limits. No need to fear, love never.
Come as you are.
The word sacrament comes from the Latin word sacramentum, which was a Roman soldier's oath of allegiance to the emperor and the Roman Empire when he signed up as a soldier. The sacrament expresses Jesus' commitment to us to the extent of his coming down to earth to immerse himself in human life and be baptized into it and have his body broken and his blood shed. And they express our commitment to him in response, our willingness to plunge in and to live and, if need be, to have our body broken and our blood shed for him. All churches celebrate the Lord's Supper in slightly different ways and with different frequencies. Pentecostals, Episcopalians, Roman Catholics have the Lord's Supper every Sunday. That's how they make it very special. They don't meet without it. Whereas the Free Church holds it very rarely, maybe even once a year, and that's how they make it very special. The Church of Scotland's in between and has it maybe four times in a year. The Free Church makes it very special when they have their occasional communion by having a whole week of services leading up to it. The Lord's Supper is a mystery, and like all mysteries, we can't exactly define it and put our finger on it. It's a bit like electricity or love. We don't really understand how they work, but we enjoy the benefits when it does work. The eating and the drinking is a sign and a seal. As a groom and his bride exchange rings as tokens of their love for one another, so Jesus and we exchange bread and wine as tokens of our love for one another. The ring is just a piece of metal, and yet it's so much more sentimentally. So with the bread and the wine. They're ordinary bread and wine, but they convey much more. They are the conveyors of Jesus' love for us. Not just symbols of his love, but somehow when we sit down and spend quality time with him, and he is there and we are there and we are committed to each other, then there is real love flowing. Something is actually happening, and we are being nourished and built up in faith. Here's Cliff Richard and Helen Shapiro singing We Being Many. God's grace seeks human faith in response. Our faith doesn't make anything happen. We can't twist God's arm to make him be gracious towards us. Our faith doesn't complete the second half of the exercise either. God himself does everything needful for us. But our faith is necessary to accept all that he has done, is doing, and will do for us. He may offer us the gift of forgiveness and new life, but we don't have the forgiveness and the new life until we reach out in faith and trust and humbly accept that forgiveness and new life. By the way, the various names for this event convey different aspects of the truth about it. We like to call it the Lord's Supper, emphasising the fact that Jesus himself instituted it, and he said, I am the bread of life. We call it the Eucharist, because in Greek the word Eucharistia means thanksgiving, and we're giving thanks for God's love and grace and mercy and forgiveness and new life and renewal, all the blessings that come from having himself with us. We like to call it communion, reminding us that Jesus is alive. He's here with us. This is a current moment experience. It's a sacrament, expressing dedication and faithfulness and commitment. It's a mass, drawing attention to the sacrificial element. Jesus' body was broken, his blood was shed, and he calls us to discipleship, which can be rigorous. It's the breaking of bread, echoing that experience when Jesus broke bread in Emmaus, and they came to discover him. So here's the BBC Welsh chorus inviting us all. Let us break bread together. One of the special features of the Lord's Supper is its three dimensions, past, present and future. We're looking back to the Last Supper 2,000 years ago, and we do this in remembrance of Jesus then. The technical word in Greek is anamnesis, which means representing the past. It's not a remembrance as if Jesus was dead and buried like Robert Burns. It's not a Burns-type supper. Jesus is alive and with us, which brings us into the present moment. It's a live fellowship with a living, risen Christ. Jesus is right here now with us is an amazing thought. And then we look forward to the future. Once we've had this life with all its snacks on the journey of life, we'll go to heaven to have that eternal banquet with all peoples from all tribes and tongues and languages sitting before the throne of God, all united in the greatest ever banquet. Past, present and future all connect to make it a timeless moment. It's an amazing, mind-boggling thought. Now, while you're thinking about it, here's the St. Mary's guitar group singing One Bread, One Body.
Breathe, O Mary, throughout the earth.
We're all one body together. Whether we're rich and poor, powerful and powerless, black or white, whatever all the differences, united together at Jesus' feet. When the bread and wine are presented to us, we're challenged to swallow that. Do you accept this? Do you accept your sins are forgiven? You are welcome. Jesus loves you. You love Jesus. And then when you eat the bread and drink the wine, you're encouraged to pass it to the person next to you. There's a mission activity. You reach out because love fills our cup till it's full and overflowing. So those who have been much forgiven are much forgiving. Those who have been greatly loved are full of that love to share with others. So we receive the bread and wine and we pass the bread and wine. We all become priests in that sense, the priesthood of all believers. There are many small details about communion which people get fussed about, you know, whether it should be a common cup or individual glasses. Common cup stressing unity, individual glasses stressing hygiene. Some folks say it should be alcoholic wine to be real wine. Other folks say it should be non-alcoholic wine in case you upset the alcoholics or younger people. Some folk have it as very somber, serious and reverential. Other people have it upbeat, celebratory and joyful. Some people are very fussed about drinking unworthily, as the Bible says. Other people say, relax, come, you're welcome. But for all the diversity of people and all the issues to do with the details, the main point is that this is the family of God having a family meal together. What kind of family is it that never sits down together and eats together? So you're invited to go to the nearest communion nearest to you. Join in this amazing experience. I leave you with Michael Card inviting you to come to the table. Bye for now.
Was broken, and all have been welcomed to come if they might, accept as their own these two tokens. The bread is his body, the wine is the blood, and the one who provides them is true. He freely offers, we freely receive. To accept and believe him is all we must do. To the table and taste of the glory and savor the sorrow. He's dying tomorrow. The hand that is breaking the bread soon will be broken. And here at the table sit those who have loved him. One is a traitor and one will deny, though he's lived his life for them all. And for all be crucified. Come to the table, he's prepared for you, the bread of forgiveness, the wine of release. Come to the table and sit down beside him, the Savior wants you to join in the feast. And see in his eyes the love that the Father has spoken. And know you are welcome, whatever your crime, though every commandment you've broken. For he's come to love you and not to condemn, and he offers a pardon of peace. If you'll come to the table, you'll feel in your heart the greatest forgiveness, the greatest release. Come to the table and taste of the glory and savor the sorrow. He's dying tomorrow. The hand that is breaking the bread soon will be broken. And here at the table sit those who have loved him. One is a traitor and one will deny, though he's lived his life for them all, and for all be crucified.